All right. Hey, Glenn. I'm waving for my partner, Glenn, to come in here, and I'm going to try to get this squeaking microphone down. Will, you got to do something about this renegade microphone. Glenn, we have the most obtuse microphone. It used to sag down to the floor. Now, if you were not watching it, it whacks up. You're going to be on this one.
But to play music, I'm going to plug in.
Okay, I can give you two. This one here.
All right.
There you go.
Thank you.
And that's on one. All right. While Glenn is getting up, I'm going to turn the music up, and we'll be right back.
A lot of stuff going on here.
I'm so annoyed. I guess it's gone on for like 2 years.
So how you doing being back on after a while?
Oh, well, this is my second week, so I don't want to screw it up much.
I hear some talking. Yeah.
And Glenn, welcome.
Hey, Ken, how you doing?
I'm doing good, aside from me yelling at this microphone. Will, fix this microphone! I have to hold it, otherwise it hit me. Don't stop it! He pokes me right in the chin. You know, so. Anyway, you and Elian had one amazing journey. Gone as long as I was, five weeks, but you took a lot more 1,000 miles than I did. So tell me about it a bit.
Well, Ken, how you doing? Yeah, welcome back to both of us. Yeah, we were gone actually for 5.5, almost 6 weeks. And I would highly encourage anyone that wants to see another place that's very interesting, consider going to Uzbekistan. We did a trip to Uzbekistan, Georgia, and Paris. But Uzbekistan, I would highly recommend because it's they just made online visas available. It's fairly inexpensive once you get there to do things. It's a wealth of beautiful architecture, so much to be seen. And what I'd like to do, Ken, is play some music.
Yeah.
So I have a few music clips. We have a little radio show going here, share music snippets. This is audio from some little short videos I shot while we were there.
Okay.
And just give you a taste of some of the music forms. So let's get going with just doing that, sharing music for you.
Here.
And belly dancing, of course. Here we go. Little snippet. That was from Ichkan Kala. That was we arrived on a Friday evening, and it was pretty interesting because it was like one of my friends said, "Is that all they ever do is dance and sing over there? Don't they ever work?" And I reminded him, Terry, that look, this was Friday evening, and there was some kind of a celebration going on. I'm not sure what it was.
And what was the name of the place you were at again?
I'm reading here from the video's notes. It's ITCHAN Kala. And this is in Uzbekistan. Uh-huh. And they were having, there's these, you know, belly dancers all over the street, musicians playing.
Geographically, just to like visually cue people in, as I recall, Uzbekistan is kind of north of Turkey and Armenia.
Yeah, yeah.
And below the old Soviet Union.
It was just occupied by the Soviets not that long ago. And actually, the whole region is occupied or barely occupied by the Soviets, and also Georgia has like 20% of Georgia is still occupied by military bases of Soviet Union.
And no longer the Soviet Union, but just the Russians.
Yeah, and you know, they don't try not to talk about it too much, some of them, but our tour guides did inform us that some of the Soviets were not, the people are not too happy about the Russians' occupation.
You didn't feel anything, any intimidation or
not at
police
all.
State, I mean, or anything like that?
Here's another reason to go to Uzbekistan, in my opinion. It's very much like going to Iran as far as the cultural aspect, the mosques, the music, the culture, the fabric, the textiles. But you don't have to deal with the political stuff that you would. And you can't actually go to Iran now if you're an American.
Right, sure.
Yeah. But it was wonderful. And let me play you another clip of some
all
music
right.
here,
yes,
okay? The musicians are like composed of usually somebody playing a nai, that's like an oboe-ish instrument, some hand drums. There's usually some string instruments like ouds, and a whole bunch of men singing and a whole bunch of women belly dancing in beautiful outfits. And we're not thinking like the beautiful, gorgeous belly dancers that you see here in some of our performances. We're talking about, you know, middle-aged, older ladies that are just, you know, beautiful dancers dancing to this music. That's an old tradition of the culture. So let's play a little bit more of something else from there. Here we go. He'd give you a run for your money. I'll tell you a little bit about this after this song.
So, yeah, I was just watching the video upside down, and
yeah.
Glenn's playing it. It's like, you put that on Facebook, I'd seen the guy.
Video clip, yeah. Okay, we've got a man that is dancing like, kind of like a demonic, crazy guy with a big fur hat on, poking his hands out. Hey, just picture Ken Wolverton at the mine shaft in the old days when he was drunk out on the dance floor.
Tattoo Tammy.
You know, just
this
like
was,
that.
No, this was Tattoo
this
Tammy.
Looked just like he can,
no,
but this guy was giving him a run for the money. He's
late.
Out there jiving around. And this is, by the way, apparently a tradition in their dance because we saw other male dancers doing the same gestures. It's like tempting the women, come in here. And
if he's in New York City, they'd arrested him for like being spaced out. On crack.
Yeah, but it's not there. So here, let's play you something else. Let's move right along here with another. This has got a guy singing a little bit. So here we go. All right, so that's just a little taste of just a man on a hand drum and a man playing and oud.
Yeah, well, and I was following your post on the photographs you were sending. I was amazed by the sculpture and paintings. I could see how they relate back to like 6,000 years of Persian art, the old kind of symbolism and things that they used. But also at the same time, they seem very, very contemporary, very avant-garde, and they would put any American or modern Western artist, as far as 3D sculptural work and some of the paintings I saw, to shame, because they were just brilliant, original works. There wasn't a sense of what I think in America we get a copyist, you know. Everyone's copying each other, whatever the trend is. It was like a real shift of traditional craftsmanship into personal imagery.
My takeaway from seeing the art there in general is some of this really ancient sculpture and art in general that was done there would rival any of the best contemporary art that's in any museum around the world. These people of ancient times were absolute superb artists and craftspeople. Their rendering of animal forms and figures were so contemporary and hip, it would make Chagall and Picasso and all those guys, I mean, they could compete with them, I'm telling you. That's outstanding.
They are aware of that history, tradition of modern art, of it being changed. That's what I'm saying. It was very contemporary. I was amazed to see that they really are cutting edge, avant-garde. Any of their work could be put in any museum in America. It would be right there along with whoever is creating whatever now, you know. So I was kind of surprised. I was expecting to see it more old-fashioned, you know, from another era, like
Victorian. Victorian.
And also some of your photos of the cities, they looked very contemporary. I was amazed by that.
The mosques, again, like I said, you could go to Iran and see mosques, but you can go to Uzbekistan and see absolutely stunning, gorgeous mosques. And what is unique to me is, like, I like round. I build a round house, and these buildings are all round domed. Mm-hmm. Beautifully tiled, incredibly intricately tiled, and there's a reason for that. That the in the Muslim tradition, you don't represent the human form. We saw that when we went to Georgia. We saw all this, you know, paintings of representing the Bible, basically, all over all the churches. The whole Bible is represented, but in the mosques, it's all beautifully rendered color and textures of tile, with no human figures represented. Yeah. So that's a tradition.
Calligraphy. I just saw a thing on civilization recently about the art of calligraphy in the Muslim world is what they see as representing the
absolute
level of the word of God Almighty. Yeah. Right?
It is beautiful calligraphy. Here, let me play you something else. Let's just mix it all up here. Here, this is in Kiva, I believe, a performance that was happening in the middle of a big courtyard of a mosque, and this is just a short snippet. Here we go. And I'm going to give you one more example of the same group. That was with a string orchestra and a singer, and there was belly dancers happening out in the courtyard. But this next one is with a woman singer joining in, and just beautiful costumes, beautiful dancing. And here we go with the next one. Thank you. So that's a snippet.
This is another thing I was wanting to ask you. I noticed as well that you seem to have like personal kind of guides who spoke what, English, French?
Yes, we did. I just actually posted on Facebook the company that we used, Adventure, and it was we had a private tour, which of course cost a little more than doing a group tour. And ironically, we saw Nye Smith and another couple that live in the area on the first day that we arrived in Tashkent at the Beck Hotel where we stayed. The next morning, I saw Nye Smith and this other couple out getting ready to get into their small tour bus. They were with a small group.
She lives up halfway.
I said, What is the odds of running into people that live in your neighborhood the day you arrive in Uzbekistan?
Yeah,
anyway, funny. And we never saw them again for the rest of the tour, but I just found that really kind of ironic.
She was right up by Madrid. She was a real estate agent.
Yeah.
I would
say you don't have to do a tour like we did, but we did it because we had a tour guide for us for the whole time. We had our own driver.
And he spoke English, French?
The tour guide spoke English. We had various tour guides that had accents along with their English, of course, and we had trouble understanding them in part. Yeah. But they probably had trouble understanding us in part, too. Yeah. So, but I'm glad we did it, and if we go back again, and we might go back to Uzbekistan again, we don't need to use the tour anymore because we know the way to do it, and if you want to go, you could talk to me, and I could even coach you on how to do it and save some money.
The other thing I was asking you, you said, Elian said you did 10 different flights?
We did 10 flights.
Why were you flying so much?
I mean, well, because, you know, first you have to go from Albuquerque to Dallas-Fort Worth with we have American Airlines free credit card miles. That's what we did. And then from there you have to go to Europe someplace. We went to Frankfurt. From Frankfurt we had to fly to Tbilisi. That's Uzbekistan. And from there we had to fly to some other country like Kazakhstan or something because they have a political deal where you couldn't fly directly to Georgia. And then we had to fly from there to Georgia. Then from Georgia we flew to Paris. And then from Paris we flew back to Dallas-Fort Worth. And then from there back to here. I think that adds up to 10. As you get into your 70s, it's tests are endurance, but we did it. Are you having fun with your camera there, Ken?
Between
the microphone and the camera, you're never a dull moment, huh? Ken's playing with his camera, playing with his microphone.
I was trying to get a photograph of his body, but this is a camera my brother donated me, by the way, and his wife. You notice that it's no longer the camera that's fallen off the truck several times.
No, it's actually a very nice camera.
The camera that has fallen off the truck finally fell off his four-wheel drive unit going up in the mountains and crashed on the floor. And it stopped working. I couldn't believe it.
Oh, well.
And then I was so kind of disappointed. I thought, well, wait a minute. It stopped working once before. Maybe if I just whack it in its head, it will work again.
So has that worked in the past in your personal relationships? I don't mean to get personal.
I took a stick and I hit my camera in the head, and oddly enough, it came back to life. But then it fell off the four-wheel drive, the ATV unit once again, fell out the door, and it was over. So anyway, so getting back to you.
Enough about you. Let's talk about me.
Oh, well, no, I'm more important. But never mind. It's your time on the air. So you and Elian, did you stay in just central areas?
In essence, when you book a tour, they lay it out for you. You stay here, you stay there, you go. Then you get up in the morning, you have breakfast, and then you go out all day. You're with your tour guide doing
the
tour.
You were looked way out in the country.
We were all over the place. We did a lot of traveling.
Yurts and so on.
And we not just did 10 flights, we did a lot of driving. Uh-huh. So we had to cover a lot of territory. I mean, 7-8 hour days of driving sometimes. It was tiring, but we did it.
Was that the tour guide's car or bus?
Yeah, the tour guide is booked by the company. He's a professional. He's probably bonded. He's got a decent car, and it's just us and the driver
right.
and a tour guide,
right,
and that's
right.
it. So and sometimes was it was just us and the driver.
And he was a bit of a historian, or did you have a male and female, it looked like?
We had female tour guides and male tour guides both. And they were all very knowledgeable, and many of them were in with universities as professors.
Uh-huh.
They did this on the side, because they don't make much money there. That's how come you can eat for $2 meals.
Yeah.
Good value. But let's hear some more music.
Okay.
This is a group of two kids, okay, young teenagers, playing in the plaza, same plaza next to the music we just heard. And they were playing at a restaurant. And it's like the younger generation, he's like DJing with a laptop, kind of, you know, electronic backing music. And a guy's just rocking out on a violin like you wouldn't freaking believe. Just so you see that there's another perspective. So here we go. Juan Luponte, eat your heart out.
You hear me? Mr. Super Psycho. Suits and coops and Lovato. Call me keep a gangster, I move like a vato. I am the king, you're the queen of my castle. Give you everything if I got to. Yeah, I know you love me like French toast. Flip your toes, moving in the drop toes. You put your makeup on a drop slow. I know this life I'm living left you hard, but also mine don't matter, I pay them no mind. And you all that matter, I messed up my hands in the street on a Saturday. Forget what they had to say. I gave you my heart like an organ donor. And all you left me with is your Chanel aroma. It's hell without you.
Boy, rap music's got a lot
actually,
to answer for.
Yeah, rap music's everywhere. I have to take it back about the violin player. He looks like he's about 9 or 10 years old. He's really talented, very young.
It's kind of weird, though. You know, you go in that part of the world, and you hear this kind of ancient music. And then,
oh, yeah? You want to hear something weird? Okay, let's continue. This is at one of the hotels next to where we were staying. They all do these giant birthday parties and wedding parties. They love birthday parties, wedding parties. We go in there. Disco is so hip in that part of the world. That's a Russian influence.
All right.
Russia and disco is so hip.
Well,
so here we go. Check this out. This is a disco party.
Yeah, that's what I was expecting to hear. That kind of top-tier popular music. This old-fashioned disco music from the 80s.
A giant hall with like hundreds of people in it, discoing.
Yeah, it's funny that, you know, that I was kind of expecting to hear that sort of contemporary music coming into it, you know. So, well, that's justified in my thinking.
Okay, and then now let me show you a taste of a classical concert that was happening in Kiva, I believe. No, it's Samarkand is where this concert was happening. In the giant mosque plaza, there was this classical orchestra from Uzbekistan performing with the singers. So you get that perspective, too. Pushing buttons over there on the mixing console. I'll be surprised if this mixing console lasts another 2 years with all the DJs coming. Excuse me, I'm talking over the concert.
All right. Western operatic classical music influence.
Now, let's continue the journey. Okay, so we did Uzbekistan. Now we're going to go to Georgia for just a little bit. Now, the thing I want to point out about Georgia is, first, what's the matter? You can't hear me talking?
It's right on.
Think about Georgia. Okay, Uzbekistan is Muslim. Georgia is Christian. So the Christian churches all over Georgia are all painted with depictions of the Bible. All the inside the churches. It's just amazing. All this beautiful art. Now, they sing a beautiful harmony in their singing style, a cappella. So I'm going to go ahead and play you a cut from inside one of the churches. There's three people singing, a man and two women. Let's check that out right now. So that's right. Short, but that gives you a taste of that.
That's in fact, this reminds me of the kind of singing that comes in Corsica with the mountain tribes that sing, and you know, with the churches and so on.
Yeah,
it's very familiar.
Okay, and here's a couple of street musicians playing their pop music, which is Georgian traditional melodies like our folk songs would be here. So here we go. We've got a guy playing an accordion and a hand drum.
Kind of almost a Tex-Mex influence.
Tex-Mex, all right.
Well, the language that they speak in Uzbekistan, is that a unique language? Is that,
that's a good question, Ken. I think all through the various stands in that region, they all understand each other's variations of the language, mm-hmm. but they're all different. Mm-hmm. Like our tour guide in Georgia could understand Russian, could understand English, of course, and all these various dialects, mm-hmm. but they're all different. Mm-hmm. It's like they're not the same language. They have variations. It's like the Spanish that's spoken in Spain and the Spanish that's spoken in Mexico is a bit different. And you would even argue in California and here it's a bit different than there.
Absolutely.
Let me play a little bit more here. This is a good example. It's very short, I'm sorry, but it's a very good example of the classic three-part harmony and their popular music that's performed in cafes and restaurants in Georgia.
Oh, that's nice.
Sorry, it's short, but you know, notice the similarity to that in the choir. It's very similar. They've really been into the three-part harmony for a very long time. That probably goes back to, goes back.
Traditional ballads and so on.
And I want to play you one more while we're at Georgia of some young street musicians that were performing right on the street. Basically, a guy playing a guitar, a stringed instrument like an oud, and three-part harmonies. Again, these are street guys just singing on the street. Young men that are probably in their early 20s, teens. Here we go.
So
let me give you a little trivia about Georgia, okay? Almost everybody smokes cigarettes. Everybody. All the time.
Yeah.
Everybody. And some musicians I hung out with there for a short bit told me that most of the men and a lot of the women don't ever drink water. They drink wine, beer, and alcohol liquors. And this is not, I thought he was jiving me, but this is an area where the wine region is, this is an 8,000-year-old wine
all you
region.
Alcoholic smokers, and you want to stop getting hassled, move to Uzbekistan and Georgia.
Back in the old days, I mean, probably couldn't drink the water. It'd probably kill you. Yeah. So they drank their wine and their beer, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So another trivia note, in Uzbekistan, the fourth largest economy is Chevy. And you say, Chevy? 80% of the cars on the road are Chevys.
Wow.
There's like 11 different models that are manufactured and made in Uzbekistan.
Oh, wow.
They bought out Daewood, the Korean company, and Chevy makes all these cars in Uzbekistan, and 80% of the cars on the road are Chevys.
So they look anything like American Chevys?
Yeah, some of the Chevys look like American Chevys, but some of them didn't. And they all run on natural gas, not gasoline.
All right.
They have these special little tanks, because Uzbekistan has got one of the world's greatest natural gas reserves.
So that's just cheaper for them to run on natural gas than gasoline.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be refined, or they just tap it right out of the ground.
I don't know how refined it is. Don't know how refined any of us are, to be honest with you. so let's play a little bit more music from Uzbekistan just for the fun of here.
All right, cool.
And here we go. This is going back to Uzbekistan. I loved it. It was great. Elian loved it. It was wonderful.
This was a street festival, or was it a special thing?
A special celebration. They don't do that every Friday night. Mm-hmm. This was some kind of, I don't know what it was, but we happened to arrive and the streets were full of this happening. And there was a puppet show with music and puppet show belly dancers, and it was like they were preferring, there was a big concert being set up that was going to happen Sunday night. We had to leave Sunday morning so we couldn't see it, but we saw the whole thing in preparation.
Cool.
So there was a festival.
You went to Uzbekistan, then you went to Georgia, then you went back to Uzbekistan?
No, I just did that here in the
music. Oh, I see. So
we went to Uzbekistan,
and then
I think we were there for 17 days.
Yeah, and then to Georgia.
And then to Georgia via Kurdistan or something, because of the airplane rules. They weren't allowed to fly directly to Georgia for some reason.
How difficult was it to like fly back into the middle of civilization, Paris?
Paris is wonderful. We had a great. We didn't discuss Paris, but yes, Paris is a wonderful city to go to.
Well, you were fortunate. You were right in the middle of the city.
Yeah, Elian's probably her best girlfriend, who's a retired nurse. Also, they live in the outskirts of Paris. And those of you that don't know, Paris is like a hub. A giant wheel, and Paris is right in the very center, and the neighborhoods of the wheel surround it, and there's subways that take you from all those outlying neighborhoods into the center of Paris. We were staying in a flat that Anique and Emmanuel own in the center of Paris on the top sixth floor.
Yeah.
That's worth more than our house. You know, it's like a penthouse. It was small, a little bit bigger than the studio here. This studio and that room there, that's how big it was. But, I mean, we're right there where everything was.
Yeah,
we walked down the street to the Pompidou, walked to the Louvre, just not too far away. Well, I mean, it's all right there. I mean, it was so cool. And right there by the main station.
Oddly enough, many years ago, I was probably just right around the corner from you because I was staying with a very famous young Parisian artist. He had a ground. It was, I think, it was his family's. He had a whole ground floor flat. It was a two stories, but it was right around the corner from the Pompidou.
It's so expensive there. I mean, Paris is expensive. Like, after Uzbekistan, where you could get a $2 meal, and everything was really reasonably priced.
Right.
I mean, you could buy beautiful garments for cheap. I mean, it's a wonderful place to go.
Yeah.
Paris, with the euro as it exists right now, you give them $300 and you get back 220 or 30 or whatever dollars.
Yeah.
It's like it used to be the dollar and the euro were comparable.
Close.
But forget about it right now. The euro is kicking our butt. Footnote. Okay.
Right. Yeah. No.
It's expensive.
Take
in Paris.
A lot of money if you go to the main, the main core of Europe.
Yeah.
No matter where you are,
it's not cheap.
Scotland, England, any part in Europe is expensive for Americans.
Dollar is not as strong as it used to be.
So, did you have a sense of loss or gaining when you left? I mean, how did you feel emotionally when you left that country? It was like, which I mentioned, is kind of roots of Eliane. Her family, his heritage comes...
Okay, we'll talk about that for a second. We went to Georgia in part on this trip because Eliane's grandmother, the one that was the wife of the Russian Orthodox bishop that was her grandfather, that became a bishop in New York City, they lived there for 6 years. She died there. She was buried there someplace. We did have our tour guide and some other help. We talked to some Russian Orthodox Church officials. They don't have any records of the turn of the century for anybody because of all the wars and stuff that happened. But there is a giant cemetery there on the center of Tbilisi. And you could look out from the hill and see this giant patch, and it's huge. And what most likely happened is Eliane's grandmother was buried there, but you can't find where she was buried because there's no way that we can track the records, because they would keep burying people on top of other graves because it's such a giant, there's 1.5 million people buried in that cemetery. So they just keep burying people on top of other people unless you're really famous or powerful family and you can maintain your plot. People just bury you on top of somebody else. So she felt like her grandmother was there, is what she said. And we saw a gravestone from about the same vintage around the turn of the century when we were there. So there was some closure for Eliane to look up this distant place where her actual family was from, Iran. I shouldn't say that, but she was. Yeah. That's where her actual
The cultures are so similar. They come out of the same apple seed, so to speak. Yeah.
So that part of the world, I would recommend for anyone that's a little bit more adventurous and wanting to just go to South America. It takes more work. It takes more money. But you know what enriches us as humans, honestly, Ken? Mm. It's not just reading. Mm. It's not just listening to the internet and watching stuff on the internet. Get out there and travel. And if you can't afford to travel abroad, do like you did. Travel to Oregon.
Anywhere. Want to go to a country that's locked in time, go to Eastern Oregon.
Travel anywhere and talk to people. And one thing that I have a takeaway from this is, like, we're all kind of the same everywhere around the world.
Yeah.
We all have the same need for love, understanding, basic needs to be taken care of. Thing I loved about Uzbekistan is people smiled all the time. People loved Americans because they didn't see that many of us. They don't have that many of us visiting them there. But I loved it. Georgia, they didn't smile as much, but maybe it's because they drink all the time. I don't know. No, they smoke all the time. That must be it. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you know, since the tobacco companies got their butt kicked in America, they've concentrated on Europe and
everybody
Asia.
Is
Big
smoking.
Time.
I'm telling
Big
you.
Big time.
Everybody.
Well, we got about 4 minutes left. So any final notes on this before I get out and jump out of the...
I would like to just continue with the concept that I would say to any of our listening audience, get out there and travel, because traveling will help you have a better perspective of our humanity in general.
Absolutely.
And you'll realize that we're not that different, any of us, anywhere around the world.
Right, right.
We're all basic humans. Now, what we have is we have governments, we have religions that try to, and they do very successfully create wars in the name of God, in the name of their religion, in the name of their country, in the name of their policies. And this has been going on since antiquity, ancient times. It's been going on, and it's still going on.
Yeah.
But people, I think, are still pretty much really nice and loving wherever you go if you give them a chance. And if you just be a nice person to people, they'll be a nice person back to you.
Right,
so there,
Glenn,
we go. We'll close with that thought.
That's a great thought and a great way to close out. Glenn, thanks so much.
Thank you, Ken, for having me on.
Again.
You're welcome, buddy.
I'm going to put some music on here and jump out of this seat because following me is the Tower Song. And I'm going to be back on this Friday from 11 to 12.